Let's read this scripture again together. It's on the front page of your sheet there. Matthew 28, 1 to 10. And just lift your voices with me. Let's read this together. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." So these 10 short verses give us three important things that we have to remember about this day, about what makes this day so significant. And the three things are this, and they were right in this passage. He was crucified. Jesus was crucified. Jesus has risen, and you don't have to be afraid. Again, those three things is that Jesus was crucified. Jesus has risen, and you don't have to be afraid. And so let's look at those three things this morning. Number one, Jesus was crucified. That's exactly what the angel said, right? In verse 5, it says, "I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified." Crucified. And we should ask ourselves this morning, what does that even mean? Because that word has kind of slipped into our colloquial speech to the point that we can say things like, you know, if I don't finish this project on time, my boss is going to crucify me. Or if you're in school, you might say something like, "I can't skip class again. My parents would crucify me if they found out, or my teacher would crucify me." And so we've used this word so commonly that it has come to mean to be harshly criticized or to meet with disapproval. But Jesus was more than just criticized. He was more than just disapproved of. When the Bible says he was crucified, it means that his body was laid on a cross. His hands were nailed to the horizontal beam. His feet were nailed to that vertical beam. And if that wasn't enough, as the Bible story goes, they put a crown of thorns on his head. And even before they put him on the cross, they beat him mercilessly. And so when the Bible says that Jesus was crucified, one thing that we must know this morning is that he was left there on the cross until he was unmistakably, undeniably dead. You see, when the body loses as much blood as Jesus lost through the beatings and through the crucifixion, the body goes into something called hypervelmic shock. And what hypervelmic shock is that the heart is trying to pump blood that no longer is in the body. And so the body goes into this shock. And when that happens, it leads to something called pleural effusion. And pleural effusion is when water begins to gather around the heart. And that's why it says in John 19, 33 to 34, it says, "When the soldiers came to Jesus and they found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs." That was their custom. They would usually break the legs of the prisoners. "But instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and of water." And so what does it mean when Jesus was crucified? When we say that and when we hear that from the angels, it means that he was nailed to this cross and he was left there until he was unmistakably dead. And so we should also ask, why? You know, why in the world? Why was he crucified? And the simple answer for that, according to the Bible, is that Jesus was crucified for our sin. For our sin. My sin, your sin, the sins of this world, our selfishness, our mistakes, our stubbornness, our refusal to submit ourselves to this King of Kings who says he is the way, the truth, and the life. And I like what Romans 5, 7 to 8 says. It says, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." 1 Peter 3:18 says, Christ suffered once for sins, the unrighteous, or the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. And so the first thing that we have to remember about this morning is that Jesus was crucified. He was crucified, not just criticized, not just disapproved of. He was crucified, nailed to a cross, left there to die. The second thing, though, that we hear in this passage that we must remember about Easter morning is that Jesus is risen. That's the good news, right? Jesus is risen. Remember what the angel said back in verse 5 and 6, and I think it's even on that sticker that's on your paper you can stick and remind yourself all year long. It says, I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. And so then we should ask, well, why is it so important that Jesus be risen? Why is this such a big deal? Why is the angel making this announcement? Well, first of all, the fact that we have a risen Jesus means that we have what the Bible calls an advocate who is living to always speak up for us on our behalf. An advocate. Advocate means somebody who speaks for us, because a dead person cannot speak up for you, right? No, a dead person cannot speak up for you. Only a living person can speak up for you. I like what it says in 1 John 2:1-2. It says, if anybody does sin, and that would be all of us, if anybody does sin, it says, we have an advocate, right? Like this, almost like a lawyer, somebody who's speaking up for us all the time. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And so when you put your faith in Jesus, you are putting your faith in a living Jesus, a risen Jesus, who is an advocate, who is speaking up for you. If the devil, the Bible calls him an accuser of the brethren, when he comes and he accuses you, you have an advocate and says, no, actually, I paid the price for that one. That one is forgiven. That one is my child. That's my son. That's my daughter. And the second thing about Jesus rising from the dead that's so important is that he gives us a real hope for eternal life. Real hope for eternal life. 1 Peter 1:3 says, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And also 1 Corinthians 15:20-23, it says, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. See, Paul was trying to make it a really strong point to the Corinthian believers long ago in a city called Corinth, because they just didn't believe that this took place. And so Paul corrects them and he says, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. He is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, and then when he comes, those who belong to him. Those who belong to him will get to be raised to life just like he was. And so we should probably ask ourselves this morning, do I belong to Jesus? Do I belong to him? Well, you certainly can. Right? In one sense, you do belong to him. He created you. You're his creation. But you can belong to him as a son or a daughter by coming to him in faith. John 1, verses 12 to 13 says, but to all who believed in him and who accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or a plan, but a birth that comes from God. What a beautiful message that simply by accepting, simply by trusting, believing, we become his children. All right, here's the third thing. Remember, we have got three big things. Number one, Jesus was crucified. Jesus has risen. And three, you don't have to be afraid. The women are twice told in this passage not to be afraid. First, the angels come to them in verse 5 and say, don't be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus. And then verse 10, Jesus says the same thing. He says, don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Well, why did they have to be told not to be afraid? Let's think for a little bit about what they witnessed as they were coming to the tomb that morning. First of all, verse 2 on your sheet, it says there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and he rolled back the stone. Okay, that's a little frightening, right? Earthquakes are frightening. My family and I lived in China for 11 years, and we were on the 20th floor of an apartment building when the aftershocks rolled through the city of an earthquake. We were afraid, all right? That's scary stuff. This natural world that they were accustomed to was falling apart right before their eyes. Number two, the supernatural world that they weren't really fully accustomed to was right there in front of their face. Verse 3, it says the angel's appearance was like lightning. Okay, how do you even draw a picture of that, right? What does that look like for an angelic being to look like lightning and the clothes to be as white as snow? And so here they are, the supernatural world is just like, boom, right in front of their face. An earthquake has taken place. The natural world is falling apart. That's the scary stuff. And then not only that, human strength was being exposed for the weakness that it actually was. The strongest power of that time would have been the Roman army. And in verse 4, it says the guards were so afraid that they shook and they became like dead men. All right? This is what the women come and encounter, right? The natural world is falling apart. There's an earthquake. The supernatural is right in front of them, an angel that looks like a bolt of lightning. And the natural human strength is being exposed for how weak it really was. These guards that are supposed to be strong are laying on the ground like dead men. So no wonder the angel says, don't be afraid. I mean, wouldn't you be afraid too? But let's think for a moment. Isn't that kind of what we see happening in our world right now? Don't we see the natural world kind of falling apart? We hear of earthquakes, we hear of tornadoes, we hear of wildfires that take place right here in Colorado. The supernatural world in our day is exposing itself as at least the evil side of things. We see evil every day in the news. It's touched right here, it touched us here right in Boulder. Displays of hatred, displays of violence, displays of just division. Human strength is shown to be weakness as well. Leaders fall. Our bodies get sick. We get bad reports from the doctor. Words like global pandemic are now inside of our vocabulary. But here's the message of Easter, is that you don't have to be afraid. We don't have to live in fear. But why? What is it about this crucified, this risen Jesus that makes it so his followers, people like you and me, no longer have to be afraid? Well, let me close with these thoughts, all right? We don't have to fear when the natural world goes crazy and starts falling apart, because the Bible says in Psalm 46, 1-3, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. We don't have to fear what happens to the natural world because God is our strength. He's our refuge. We don't have to fear the supernatural and the evil that's being exposed all throughout the world and such. Luke 10:19, Jesus says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. And we don't even have to fear when our own natural strength begins to expose itself for the weakness that it actually is. And this, I'll close with this verse. This is Job 19:25-27. Of all the people we know in Scripture that were exposed to the frailty of our human strength, it was a man named Job. And listen to what Job says. He prophesied this thousands of years before Jesus even walked the earth. He says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end, he will stand on the earth. My Redeemer will stand on the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I am not another. How my heart yearns within me. So here's three things to remember on this Easter morning. Number one, Jesus was crucified. He was crucified for your sins. He was crucified for my sins. He was crucified in the truest sense of the word, that he was left on the cross until he was unmistakably dead. But number two, Jesus has risen. He rose to new life. That's what this day is all about. And he rose to new life in order that he can give you new life as well. simply by trusting, believing, we can have that new life. And number three, we don't have to be afraid. That's why the Bible sometimes calls Christians foolish, because it seems silly that we can walk through this life and not be afraid, because we trust, we know this risen Jesus. We know that he's your advocate. We know that he loves us. So let's pray. And Sophia, if the musicians come back and just pick one song that we can sing to kind of close out this morning. Father, we thank you so much once again for sending Jesus. And Jesus, we know that you're here. Your word says that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you are in our midst. So we thank you for your presence here today. And Lord, we pray for our city, the city right here behind us. We think of Boulder. We pray that Boulder would have eyes that are open to see the goodness of Jesus. Lord, I think of people that maybe have been burned out on religion, have been maybe hurt by church. But Father, I pray that all the circumstances of life, the hurts that they've encountered, would open their eyes to Jesus. Open their eyes to the reality of your love, the simplicity of your love and the simplicity of your message and the offer that you give of new life. And so, Father, we love the city Boulder, and we pray right now your blessing on it on this Easter morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.